Yeah, what I'd like to discuss tonight is the making brachos on dessert, which I told most people already. So I could say that the reason why I discuss this topic is because Tu B'Shvat, so it's fruit and making brachos. But really, the truth is that I had a couple of guys over 2 weeks ago, and my wife served for dessert a mousse with like mousse on the bottom and cream on the top, and graham cracker. I'm sorry, we don't have anything to serve now, but graham cracker crust on the bottom with mousse and white cream, and everyone was looking at each other. Moish, you here? I think you were there, right? You were there that time, I think. And everyone was like looking at like what to do, like what do you do with the bracha chorna? So that got me thinking maybe that would be a good thing to discuss, that making brachos on dessert. Bracha rishona, sorry. Everyone was looking at make a bracha, not make a bracha. So I said what to do, and then I said later that I was correct in what bracha to make. But this way we could be educated. Not everything comes out 100% clear, but at least on the ideas that we go to someone's house, or even in yeshiva, and you have desserts, you'll know what to do.
And dessert is about the two asses.
That's correct.
If you're deserving someone,
yeah, it's with one ass.
Or if you just grab dinner
and dessert. So I want to go through different topics. There's the mezonos issue, there's the pasah b'kistin, cake, there's that issue. Then there's fruit. There's raw fruit, there's cooked fruit, and then there's ice cream, ices, a few different things, and we'll try to go through one at a time and come out with mainly halach l'maase, at least how we're knowing, at least somewhat. So the first thing I want to discuss is the mezonos, the pasah b'kistin, which is if you get for dessert brownies or seven-layer cake or any kind of cake, so what would you do for dessert? And to understand that, you have to get a clear understanding of what pasah b'kistin is and get a little background information of what's going on with pasah b'kistin, and then we'll work our way to the dessert. So the Shulchan Aruch says, in Siman Kuf Sam Ches Sivav, says the Mechaber, pasah b'kistin mevarech al abayim mei mezonos, v'le'achira bracha achas mein shalosh. So the bracha on pasah b'kistin, which we'll see what it is in the next sif, you make the bracha before the abayim mei mezonos, and afterwards you make an al mechil, that's mein shalosh. V'le'achal v'menu shir sha'achirin v'gilin l'kvo alav, and if you eat the amount that people are normally rogel to be koveya or suda on this stuff, even if he does not get full from that, he would really eat more. But if he eats the amount that normal people would be full from, then it's considered a kviya suda, and he'll have to wash and bench, and it'll be. And that gets involved with the famous pizza issue, whether you wash on pizza or not, but we're not going to get into that right now. Fine. So that's the Mechaber Paskins. Instead of the pasul of a kiss, and the bracha is mezonos, and the bracha achrona is meishalos mezonos. Mezonos alam bechir. Fine. So we're going to skip the rest of the sif right now. And in sif zayin, the mechaber says pasul above a kiss, and yesh meforshim pasha also becoming kisim shemalan osam dvash of sukkar ve'gozim ushkedim v'tavlin. So basically, the mechaber goes through the three different opinions. What exactly is pasul above a kiss? So the mechaber lists the three opinions. Opinion number one is it's a kind of dough. Kind of pockets, kisim, like pockets, shemalan osam dvash or sukkah that you place inside it something sweet. You put inside it nuts or chocolate or whatever you put inside it. So that would be pasul b'kistin, something that's filled, fruit filled or candy filled. Yeah. So if you would have, for example, a Danish, like a blueberry Danish, like a mini Danish, like a blueberry Danish full of Danishes, full of blueberries. Or you'd have any kind of a pie or whatever it is, something that's filled with stuff, with fruit or chocolate, whatever it would be. So that would fall in the pasul b'kistin, and that would be what the mechaber is referring to in the sif before, that the bracha would be mezonos, and the bracha chorna would be al mechia. That's opinion number one. V'yesh omrim shehi isa she'eruv badvash o shemen o chalav omine tavon va'afa'a. Opinion number two is that it's dough, that mixed into the dough is all kinds of different sweet things, honey or oil or milk or different kinds of spices. Instead of the classic dough, let's say you're making bread, it's mainly flour and water. Instead of using water, you're using many other things, either juices or other sweet things. Instead of the water or in addition to the water, so that would be the second thing. We'll call that sweet dough, which is basically, you know, most cakes. You have a brownie, that's sweet dough, obviously. It's not just flour and water. It has all kinds of eggs and healthy things in there.
The first one you put inside? So
the first one is like a fruit-filled thing, like a hamantash with, let's say, chocolate chips inside, or with prunes inside, whatever it is, a hamantash, which is filled with fruit. Something that's a considerable amount of stuff that it's filled with, that's opinion number one. It's filled with fruit. It's cooked with the fruit, but it's filled with it. Number two is that the dough itself is sweet dough, like anything, like mandel bread, whatever it would be, any kind of cake that has sweet dough. That's opinion number two. Now that's a machlokes in the Mechaber and the Ramah, exactly how much it has to be. The Mechaber says in number two, and the dough has to be sweet. He says, "V'husha yiatam taroves hameperos otav nikar beisa." The Mechaber says that as long as the taste of the fruit juice or whatever spices is recognizable in the dough, the Mechaber says it has to be recognizable. But the Ramah says, "V'yesh omrim shezin zenikar pas gomer." If it's only recognizable, that would be regular bread. That wouldn't be pasal b'kisnan. It has to be that there's so much sugar and other things besides the water that becomes the ikr. That's what the Ramah says for us. So it's sweet dough that that becomes the main thing. So then that is pasul. So far we have two opinions. Number one is that it's filled with fruit. Number two is that it's made from other things. Other sweet things is made in the dough. And number three is Vishna Farshim Shahu Pass, they mituvelas bain shainum mituvelas shaosin osam ka'alam yvation vikosim osam. This is crunchy things, like crackers or let's just say crackers for now. We'll come back to other examples later on. So crackers would be possible because of course it's a kind, it doesn't matter with how much flour it has in it, how much flour versus water or fruit juice, doesn't matter, as long as it's crunchy, that's opinion number three. Fine. So that's the three opinions. So all these three things, there are three different opinions. Now, make sure you get this clear, because this is going to be a lot of the shiur. So the three separate opinions, three different, Rishonim or Achronim, I don't remember exactly who says what, some are Gaonim, three different opinions that the Mechaber is quoting on what is Pasul B'Kisin, and Pasul B'Kisin, according to each one, the bracha will be Mizonos, and the bracha Achronim will be Al-Mechya. And then the Mechaber says, V'halacha k'divrei kulam, and the halacha is like all of them. Shel kol elu hadvarim nosnim lahem dinim sh'amarnu b'Pasul B'Kisin. He says, we pass them like all of them. For all these things, you follow the rules that we said by Pasul B'Kisin, which is what? They make a Mizonos, so you make an Al-Mechya. That's what the Mechaber says. So the Bir Halacha says later on, and actually it's in Sif Ches, which is the next Sif. So the Bir Halacha says that after, and this brings up from Rabbi Kivayger and others, says after Mechaber pasak lahaka b'kulam, either the Mechaber pasvin l'kula by all of them, by all these three things. By all these three things, you make a mizonos and you make an alamichya. Hainu mishum the suffik the rabbanon lahakel. Ve'in matzrichon levarach hamotzi brechas amazon kishar pas. Says the halacha, the pshat, and this is many achronim say the pshat in the mechaber that he says you make a mizonos on all of them is not because he holds that it's vada each one's papa sabo b'kisin. It's a suffik. We don't know which psak is correct. There are three different opinions. What is pasa sabo b'kisin? And we don't know which one's correct. Therefore, he says, "May suffix, we pass him like all three, and all three you're gonna make a mizonos."
Not because of suffix,
it is because of suffix, because when we look at each opinion. So let's say you take the fruit-filled dough. So we have, according to the opinion that says fruit-filled dough passes up the kisnin, so the bracha is mizonos. According to the one who says you need flaky dough, so flaky dough is mizonos, but the fruit-filled dough is bread. It's hamotzi. Right, that's what you have to get clear. And there are three different opinions of what Pasul B'Kisin is. What Pasul B'Kisin is, whatever it's not, is bread. Right? So the one who says that you need to have a hamantash that's filled with chocolate chips inside, that is mizonos. So he holds that if you have sweet dough or you have flaky dough, the bracha is hamotzi and benching, it's bread.
What's that? Considered bread. That's a suffix d'aresu.
That's a great kasha that we're not going to address. That's a great kasha. That's a great kasha. Mm-hmm. We're not going to discuss that now. Yeah, but the Bir Halacha explains that it's only working with Sadeh Rabbanan. First of all, it only becomes a raisa if you eat Kedei Sviya. So
according to the other one, it's bread. Even if you
no, but it's only even on benching on bread, it's only benching the raisa if you're full. So you can say we're discussing, you're not full, you ate a kezayah, so you'd be chayv in benching a Baruch Hu, but that would be a Sadeh Rabbanan. I mean, it's possible to have benching as a Sadeh Rabbanan, because if you only ate a kezayah, we're benching only, the chiyah benching is only the Rabbanan. Only if you ate Kedei Sviya, right, V'chata V'savata V'rata, then you get into a Doraisa. So it's possible to have this whole discussion on Sali Dorabana, but that question is a great question. I'm just not going to address it. Fine, so that, again, there are three opinions of what Pasul B'Kisin is, and they all three, according to the Bir Halacha, they all three argue on each other, and whoever holds that A is Pasul B'Kisin holds that B and C are bread, whoever holds B is Pasul B'Kisin holds A and C are bread, whoever holds C is Pasul B'Kisin holds A and B are bread. So that's Pashut. So he says, out of Suffolk, we don't know which is which, so we go Suffolk Brahmas Lahakil, and we say, instead of making Hamotzi and benching, which would be Lachumra, we go Lakula, since we don't know which one's right, and we say that by all three, you make a Mizonos, and you make it Al-Mechir. Fine. Now in the next Sif, which that Bir Lach is on, the Mechaber says over there, he's talking about certain things that the Brachas Mizonos, certain kind of rolls that are made from a certain thing that the Brachas Mizonos, and he says, if you eat these things at the brachas mizonos, if you eat it in the middle of a meal, you eat it for dessert, so you'll need a bracha before the mizonos, and you will not need a bracha achorna afterwards. Says the Bir Halacha, I am the Mishabura Shekosa B'Shea Amagin Avram, who Adin L'chol Pasav Abakistan. Even though the Mechaber is not referring to Pasav Abakistan, but the Achronim learned that the Mechaber refers to everything. All the Pasav Abakistan that we said above, if you eat it in the middle of the Suda, so it will require a bracha before it. So that's what he's saying, right? If you Achil Hu B'socha Suda, Shalom Achmas HaSuda, it's not part of the Suda, it's at the end of the Suda, but it's in the middle of the Suda, so Unem Bracha L'Shneim Vol Achareim. And that's talking about these certain kind of rolls. But the Achronim say that who had them pasav b'kistan. So according to this, if you eat pasav b'kistan, whatever that is, you eat it in the middle of the suda, you'll be required to make a mizonos on the cake in the middle of the suda.
That's what the Mechaber says.
So says about
if you eat pasav b'kistan in the middle of the suda,
you have to make a mizonos.
In the middle of the suda, meaning even
dessert. Yeah.
While you're eating your meat and you want to locate.
No, right. If, as long as it's not ba machlas asuda, it's not your main part of your suda, it's a side thing in your suda, it's not machlas asuda, it's not it's a dessert, so then you make a bracha. So listen to the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha points out the following. He says, even though the Mechaber paskin lahokel by kulam, by all three over there, and the Mechaber paskin by the first din, when you eat one of these three things by itself, so there's one opinion that says this is mizonos and the other two are hamotzi. One says this is mizonos and the other two are hamotzi. We paskin lakula by all of them, since we're not sure what's right, we make a mizonos by all three. Right? So even though he said that over there, right? So he says, Masha ein kein binyanenu, la tzricha bracha toch asudu, mishum den achzikul lepas kisen, ein svara, the other rabba, safek de rabbanon lahakel. He says, if you want to go safek de rabbanon lakula, so when you're eating the thing by itself, if you want to go lakula, that would mean to make a mizonos and to make an al-michya. But when you're in the middle of the suda, we have two options. We can either view it as bread, right? Each of these three things is either bread, according to two opinions, or it's mizonos. So if it's bread, then you don't make a bracha in the middle of the suda, because you're eating bread in the middle of the suda, you're already washed, you wouldn't make a bracha. But if it's not bread, then you would make a bracha. So to go lakula over here, we would view it as bread, and therefore it would be covered by the hamotzi and the brachas hamazon, specifically the hamotzi, and you wouldn't need to make a bracha. So says the Bir Halacha, even though the mechaber over here is paskening, that if you eat pasav b'kistan in the middle of the suda, you would make a bracha, that's only if you know vada is pasav b'kistan. But the thing is that we are mesupik over the three opinions, so just like when you eat it on its own, we go celebrate the kula, and you make a mizonos and an alamichya, we view it as not bread, but tocha suda, the kula would be the other way. The kula tocha suda would be, if you view it as bread, and therefore it would be putter for making a bracha tocha suda, and you can rely on the bracha zamazim. Except as everyone knows, the famous psak comes out according to this. But if you would come up with a food that has all three requirements, then according to every opinion, that's pasav b'kistan, right? If it would have fruit filled or something filled, and it would be sweet dough and it would be flaky dough, it would have all three requirements, then according to everyone, it's pasav b'kistan. For sure, the bracha is mizonos. And then if you're eating it tocha suda for dessert, you would for sure have to make a bracha. The classic example everyone brings with that is Napoleon. Napoleon, because it's filled with cream, and the dough is sweet, and it's usually flaky. It depends on the Napoleon, assuming it's flaky dough, you know, crispy dough. So in Napoleon, you would have to make a bracha of mizonos if you got it as dessert. But other mizonos, it comes out according to this, that you would not have to make a bracha. That is, and this lemaisa, we'll get into more things, but this lemaisa, how we are knowing. We are knowing that if you eat any of the three things outside of a suda, you'll make a mizonos and an alamichya, assuming you're not kovei a suda, right? But if you eat a tocha suda, then we view it as bread and you do not make a bracha, unless it has all three requirements, in which case we have no option, because according to everyone, it's not bread, and it doesn't come as part of the suda, it comes as dessert, so it's pasha, you have to make a bracha. And that would be a Napoleon. So come back, you have to make a bracha during the suda on Napoleon, but anything, if you have a cherry pie that comes for dessert also, so it's fruit-filled and has sweet dough, so if the dough it will be flaky or crispy, so you also have to make a bracha. You have to keep your eyes out for these things, it's not so uncommon to have. It could be also this mousse that we started with also has all three requirements. Assuming the dough is a graham cracker crust, which is crunchy dough, and it's sweet dough, and it's filled with the mousse, so So it could be that would fulfill all three requirements also, but we'll address that later on in the shir, the moose. So we're not right. That's why it'll be different. Correct. We'll get that later. We'll get that later.
Is pi cross normally considered flaky?
How does that longus the same brownie when you're discussing whether to go lakula, whether it's pas or
that's what something that's what something lakula says.
In separate circumstances, the same issue one way we will do it one way and one way another. Wouldn't you normally just take the way that would be the most? Whether it's the derech klal, is it more of a cool to say that this brownie is pascal chnesin or regular class, and then apply that to all circumstances, even though in a myriad of circumstances it'll come out to be l'chama? How does it work to say the same thing that depending on the circumstances in the different coolers?
As a kasha, I don't know the answer to that, but apparently that's what the Bar Halacha says. I understand what you're saying. You're saying choose the rove of the cases and go the main way that'll be the l'chula. Says in each situation you go, suffik brachos l'kula. Now there's one other nafkamina that comes out of this suffik, and that's in Siman Kufay and Vav. In Siman Kufay and Vav, this is gotta be a different topic. This is if you eat something before the Suda. So normally the halacha should be that if you eat something before the Suda, right, he says, what if you eat cake before the Suda on Shabbos? Right? You make Kiddush, some people do this, they make Kiddush, and they eat cake. Then they're going to wash immediately afterwards. So in Siman Kufay and Vav, what?
Is that a bracha shem?
Not if you would have to make a bracha tocha suda. But it wouldn't be. But depending. So the Bir Halacha comes up with the same thing over here. That if we view the bread, the mezonos that you're eating before the suda, right, let's say it has one of the requirements, and you eat it, you're viewing this mezonos as if it is bread, so then it's pasha, you don't make a bracha achana before, you could be yotzei with the Berachas HaMazon at the end of the Suda. But if you view it as a Paschal of the Kisnin, if you're not going to eat more of it during the Suda, then you push it, you have to make a Berach HaChonah before. So the Berachas says the same thing over there, that Lagavi this, the Suffolk Berachas Lahakel would tell us that we view it again as bread, and even though you ate it before the Suda, and you're not eating more in the Suda, you can rely on the Berachas HaMazon at the end, and view it as bread, and therefore you would not have to make a Berach HaChonah before the Suda. If it would be considered Paschal of the Kisnin, you would have to make a Berach HaChonah, because it's not considered part of the Suda, and you're not eating it during the Suda, it's totally separate, you'd need a Berach HaChonah afterwards. But since we have the option of viewing it as past, so the Golokul will view it as past, and you'll be yotzei with your Berachas HaMazon at the end. That's just another nafkamina that comes out according to the suffix. Fine. Now, there's one very big kasha on this whole mahalach that the Bir Halacha and the Mishnah Berurah takes. And that is, let's say, the following scenario, let's say you go to a Kiddush on Shabbos, and you eat some crackers and chopped liver. You eat a considerable amount of crackers and chopped liver, or tuna fish, whatever it is. And then you go and you eat some mini danishes. So the crackers are the flaky dough, and the mini danishes will be the sweet dough and the fruit-filled dough. And you fill all three requirements, and you ate all three requirements, even though it's different foods, you ate all three different requirements. So if it's really a suffix of which one is considered possible location and which one is pass, if you ate all three, everyone, according to every opinion, you're chayv to bench. Because again, according to every opinion, according to one who says you need a fruit-filled dough or something filled with sweet stuff, so then that's mezonos al mechila. But the other two are hamotzi and yet the bench, right? So if you're eating all three, so according to everyone, you end up eating one thing that's mezonos al mechila, and you end up eating two things that you have to bench on. So the chorus should come out that if you ate all three things, really only to eat two things, but certainly if you ate all three things. So if you ate all three things, there should be a chiv of benching. If you ate exactly all three, you should have to bench afterwards. And we know that we're knowing that we go to a Kiddush and we're not careful, that assuming we're not kovei asuda, but we eat a kezias of these different things, that we're knowing not to bench. But according to this, it's pashut that you should have to bench. That's a big kasha on the mahalach of the Mishnah Berurah.
Each, like we say by a right,
Yeah, but here it's not like that, because only one is mezonos, two are hamotzi. Two are real bread. Each opinion holds this is pasul of a kissin, the other
but,
two are not.
But each one you could say, maybe this is
each
the one
that you
not.
You ate all three, and now you're about to make a bracha chronah to go to eat your suda now. So what bracha chronah make? Let's see, I ate this, I go through everything I ate. Well, I vada according to every opinion, ate a kezias of things that I have to bench on. We're looking after you ate everything. After you ate everything, you can't view. We're not going to view each one individually. I ate vada something that I'm chayav brachos on.
You can make an
amah. Well, you didn't. So you did. So we're knowing not to bench. According to Berachah, it's pasha that you should have to bench, assuming that
you
are knocking on Yaakov's question is correct, and he does not have, assuming he does not have a valid point. So that's Pasha that you should have a Chiyuv bench, and we know we're not the bench. So that brings us to another opinion, which argues totally on the Mishnah Berurah, and that's the Bir Halacha brings down from the Maimon Mordechai and the Aruch HaShulchan, as well as Hazan Beferish, and they say that all three opinions, it's not a suffix of which opinion that each one holds only one thing. They all agree with each other. Each one agrees. They're each stating a different opinion, but they all agree that all three are mezonos. So according to that, it's pasha that if you ate all three things, according to Aruch HaShulchan, if you ate all three things, so each one is passable of a kistan. They're not arguing. This opinion holds, they're not arguing. Right? The Bir Halacha is under the opinion that they were all arguing, and we were going Safek Lahakil. If you go according to Aruch HaShulchan, they're not arguing. Each one holds that each one is stating that one is passable of a kistan, but they all agree with each other. So Menela, if you ate all three of the Kiddush, now you're coming to Nega Bracha Chrona. So it's pasha, you ate three different things of Passover of Kisten. You're chayv one big alam lecha and everything, you're not chayv the bench. The other one just says the three opinions don't argue. Till now we've been saying the three opinions argue. So the one who says A is Passover of Kisten, then B and C is mamish bread, you have to wash and bench on it. But according to Aruch HaShulchan, however, all three opinions agree with each other. They're just stating different cases of Passover of Kisten. So all three are Vadai Mezonos. So, of course, if you go to fish, you eat all three, of course, you're going to make an al-mechia. The question that comes out according to that, which Ali just pointed out, is then you have to work backwards. So now, if you eat a tocha suda, according to Aruch HaShulchan, if you go through the Aruch HaShulchan, that you're not required to bench when you eat all three, so now if you're in the middle of a suda and someone brings you any kind of pasal of a kiss, any kind of cake, any kind of mezonos dessert, if all opinions agree, you vada have to make a bracha on every single thing that's brought to the table.
Yeah, what's up from the Mishnah? That's
very good.
Aruch HaShulchan, so you go to HaKal.
That's very good. Look, the mechaber is not really mechalak. He just says that.
Right, they're both an explanation of the mechaber. Whether it's when the mechaber just passes, alacha kedivei kulam. Does he mean alacha kedivei kulam meisafek? Alacha kedivei kulam, but there's no safek. They're all stating different opinions. They all agree. Everyone's one big happy family. Everyone agrees. So, but lemaisa, the way we're knowing, that's why I started with the way we're knowing is that tocha suda we do not make a bracha. But if we eat all three, we don't bench. So Maisa doesn't work out, because if we're following the Mishnah Berurah, so then if we're not making a bracha, tocha suda, we're eating it as dessert, so if we go to Kish, eat all three requirements, so we should be chayav to bench. And if we're not benching, because we're going with Pidur Aruch HaShulchan, that they're all vatlai mezonos, so in tocha suda, you vatlai have to make a mezonos, so what's going on?
If it's a safek, whether we hold up Mishnah Berurah Aruch HaShulchan, so you have to go to HaKal,
and
then you don't have a problem.
Right, so we're going to get to something very, very similar to that. In addition to this, Rav Moshe says Mefurish, I spread inside, and it surprised me very much, because usually we know very much like Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, the Tol Tvarav by the Sugya later on, of over here, but when you eat it before the Suda, Rav Moshe says Mefurish, that the cakes that we eat nowadays are so sweet, there's so much sugar and so much in it, that according to everyone it's passable of a kistan. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein says. Moshe Feinstein says that according to everyone, it should be passable to Kisnan. Therefore, it should come out according to Rav Moshe that you would have to make a bracha de la suda. And if this in Kappa brings out in the Sefer that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, actually the Tshuva in another Sefer also, brings out for Rosh Shlomo Zalman that he's massive also that many, many cakes nowadays are passable to Kisnan. And if this in Kappa brings out that Rosh Shlomo Zalman was knowing to make a bracha on all mezonos to la suda. He brought him a dessert which is mezonos, where we're knowing not to make a bracha, he actually made a bracha on the dessert. Like this Aruch HaShulchan. So why don't we make it? That's the kasha.
What was the last
name? The Rav Moshe seems to pass from like the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Shlomo Zalman also seems to pass from like the Aruch HaShulchan, which means that they're not really arguing that all three opinions are agreeing that all three are mezonos, and therefore, whenever you eat dessert that's mezonos, you should have to wait and make a mezonos. So, what? No, we're not knowing that way. The Lamites are not knowing that way, so what are we doing? Why are we not knowing that way? So if this account brings down in his Sefer, Shalmei Nisan on Brachos, so he brings down a way of how to be Malavet Chos on what we're doing exactly. So he basically says like this, that similar to what Ali said, that we really have the suffix of the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, but he said besides that there's a sheet of the Rashba, which you don't paskin like. The Mechaber paskin is that Pasa Baba Kisnin, you make a bracha to Chasuda. Remember that the Mechaber is you make a bracha. The only reason we know is we're not sure which is Pasa Baba Kisnin. But the Rashba in Brachos argues with the Mechaber. The Mechaber Pasuk is not like the Rashba. The Rashba says that you'll never make a bracha of Mezonos Tocha Suda. You'll never make a bracha of Mezonos Tocha Suda on Pasuk of Kisnin, because since if you would be, the Rashba's reason is, since if you would be Koveya Suda on the Pasuk of Kisnin, you would be required to make a Hamotzi and bench, therefore it can always be covered by the Hamotzi you make before the Suda. So if you rely on, so he throws a few different tsirufim. Obviously, we don't pass him like the Rashba, because the Machar passes mafresh against it. But if you throw in a few different things, so you can come out and be melamed tzchus, why we actually, even though we should, why we wouldn't make a bracha on the zitah chasudah. So number one, he throws in is the Rashba. That the Rashba holds, again, that you would never make a bracha on mezonos al chasudah, because since, if you would be koveh asudah on the pasal of a kisah, and it would have a din of regular bread, you'd have to make a hamotzi, and you'd have to bench. So mele, it has shaychus to the hamotzi you made in the beginning of the sudah. So we say, the Rashba says, you don't make a bracha to chasudah, because you're yotzei with that. In addition to that, this mezonos you eat the suda. If you eat kovei suda on it, you would make hamotzi on it. So now that you made hamotzi in the beginning of your suda, so it's able to cover it. Meaning it's able to be covered by a hamotzi, even though right, correct. Since if you would
and
eat
that's
your suda,
what we do nowadays?
No, that's one. That's not alone because we don't pass one like that. But he's saying you throw this in with a few different things with the suffix of the Aruch Hashulchan and Shabura. You throw on the Rashba, and he says you throw in the following also, which is a little bit hard to hear, but he throws in the following. So when the Mishnah Berurah brings this thing down, when the Shulchan Aruch brings this down, it says that these mezonos and idim tochasuda are tumin bracha lefneiv olachareim. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Magen Avraham that says, if you ate shalom machmas asuda pirish shalom ochol lasbiar ravono, you didn't eat it to satisfy your hunger. Rakul kinuachu mesika, you only ate it. This whole din of making a bracha is only if you're eating it as a dessert or as a sweet thing. The ilu acholam lamali ravono, because if you ate it to satisfy your hunger, afilu acholam rak ma'at heim b'chal suda v'ein tzara bracha. As far as the Magen Avraham says, that if this all is lashon pasal b'kisna, that you need a bracha tocha suda, is only if you're eating it as dessert, because you're eating it just as a sweet taste in your mouth, you're not hungry at all. But let's say you're a guest in someone's house, and they're very poor, and they give very little, you know, a lot of times this happens, they give you very small portions, and you're starving at the end. Then they bring out ragalach. So it's pashut. Mishra says mafurish that in that case you wouldn't have to make a bracha because you're still hungry, you're eating as part of your suda, so then it will be covered by the hamotzi. Only if you're eating as just for a sweet taste in your mouth, stam as a dessert, then you don't have to make a bracha. So he says you could throw in also this Magen Avraham, you could say, and my Rebbe told me here, he saw this in the Sefer once, Meshem of Scheinberg, that the same idea to be Mlamet Tzchus, why we don't make a bracha, is that you can say nowadays when we eat dessert, we're also doing it to fill ourselves up. Even though you have to don each case separately, meaning each time you're in the suda, if you're still hungry, a lot of times it's no good if you're a guest. So if you're a guest, sometimes you're still hungry. You're embarrassed to take more food or whatever it was. There wasn't a lot of food. You didn't want to take it, so you're still hungry. So then you wouldn't have to make a bracha. So even if we're not hungry, so you have that to rely on that there is a tzad. Even if you hold a pasul of kisah and it requires a bracha tocha suda, that if you are hungry for it, so then it's covered by the hamotzi and it's considered part of the suda, and you wouldn't have to make a bracha either. So he throws in these different things in order to be melamed tzchus why we don't make a bracha to chasuda.
Last thing is Mishabru.
Yeah, that's Mishabru. Mishabru is quoting the Magen Avraham. So there's one other tzirah that we'll bring in afterwards, but just for now to review the lemaisa. The lemaisa, the way we're knowing, because I want it to be a halacha lemaisa shir. The lemaisa we know is very much like a Mishabru. We had that one difficulty with the Mishabru, which you burn the orcha shulchan. The lemaisa, the way we're knowing, is if you eat normally pasal of a kisnin, you make it a zonos on all three different types. And tocha suda, we go to kula, and we assume that they're all hamotzi, and therefore you would not make a bracha, unless it has all three requirements, like a Napoleon, in which case you would have to make a bracha. That's how halacha lemaisa comes out of it. This is just how to answer up and just some interesting things. Right, that's point number one. Now, the next thing we get into is the fruits. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Siman Kuf Ayin Zayin. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Dvarim haboim betzoch asuda, im heim dvarim haboim machmas asuda, dahainu dvarim shederach lekfo asuda aleihem, lelapes v'hanas apas." This is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch that why we wash in the beginning of a suda, you don't have to make another bracha when you eat your chicken and your potato kugel, anything that comes as part of the suda, so it's covered by the hamotzi, and doesn't need a bracha afterwards because the bracha hamotzi covers it at the end. But v'im heim dvarim haboim shalom machmas asuda. This is really the makor of this whole dessert thing. V'im heim dvarim haboim shalom machmas asuda. But something that's not coming machmas asuda. Dehainu she'ein derech lekbo asuda aleihem lelapes b'hen asapas. It's not a normal thing that you would be kovei asuda on that you would use in a suda of bread. Kigon te'enim v'anovim v'chol minei peros. Any kinds of fruits. Im ochel osam below pas tu'unim bracha lefneim de bracha samotzi ena potrasan. The lab the ikar sudahin. Fine. Now, these things, fruits would require, since they don't come as part of the ikar suda, they would require a bracha. And this is talking about regular fruits. If you want to eat an apple at the end of the suda, the machaber passes on the first, that you have to make a bracha, boikri eat on your apple at the end of the suda. Now, I want to read you the Mishnah Bura, and then you see a tshuva that Rav Shturmbach has, which brings out an amazing thing. Listen to what the Mishnah Bura says. So that is, that's talking about raw fruit. Raw fruit, if you eat it, so you have to make a burpee eight. That's how we're knowing. If you eat fruit at the end of the Suda, so you have to make a bracha. What if it's cooked fruit? So
why
Mishnah Bura...
Why do you go after what people normally do?
So we'll get to that in a minute. That's a good kasha. So this is what the Mishnah Bura says. Mishnah Bura says, "Kegon te'enim v'chein kol davar shabar rak l'kinuach lo lasbia." Not only fruits, but anything that comes as dessert, that comes as dessert and not to fill you up for the meal, will need a bracha. V'afilu hayu aperos l'fana b'sha shabirach hamotzi. Even if the fruits were around when you made the hamotzi, afilu heim levu shalom. Says the Mishnah Bura, even if the fruits are cooked, gam ke ein hapas potrosam. Even if it's cooked fruit, the Mishnah Bura says in the first, even if the fruits are cooked, the past does not patter it, and therefore you have to make a bracha. But the Sharat Tzion, which is the Mishnah Bura also, what somebody writes on that. The Apa Makomos, exactly what Zisha just addressed. The Apa Makomos Shenogu Lechol Peros Mevusholim Bekol Suda L'Basov. Even in places that the minhag is to eat cooked fruits at every Suda at the end, Gamke Mistavra L'Chora Delo Chashivi Kedvar Maboy Machmas HaSuda. Even if everyone, the minhag is to always eat cooked fruits at the end of a suda, it's not considered dvarim haboyim machmas asuda. Kevan sha'al kol ponim rak l'kinuach hem boyim. Since l'maisa it comes as dessert, even if it comes always for dessert, but since it's only coming for dessert, therefore, you'll need a bracha. That's the Mishnah Bura passing before us, that fruits, cooked fruits, raw fruits, all fruits would require bracha at the end of a suda. Now, I suppose it's quoted in a couple of places, and I happen to have the sefer, Shurgol's tshuva, brings down a very interesting, in his tshuva is called, Mahu adin in levarach al hakumpot, which is Paris hamavushalim, havoyim lelaftam begmar asuda over vaschala. Right? So what's adin by making a bracha on cooked fruits? Listen to this. The Mishnah Bura mavuah shetzarach levarach al kumpot she'enu el lekinu asuda v'tzarach bracha. The Mishnah Bura passage we just read, that cooked fruit requires a bracha. Mishnah Bura passage that way. Aval, and this is a Shturmbach, Aval shamanu edus ne'emana halacha l'maisa. We heard valid testimony halacha l'maisa. Shebezik ziknuso chazar bo the chavetz chayim. We have valid edus halacha l'maisa that when he in his older age chazar bo he changed his mind. Uba'atzma lo birich al kompot that he ate at the end of a suda cooked fruit and the chavetz chayim didn't make a bracha. It comes out mafurish. Yeah, and then he says the eitz amorin ha griz the brisker rav. Zatzal, Ra'isi, so with his own eyes, Ra'isi shedikdik le'achol in pas dafka, tavi ikaru poter tofel. He saw the brisk rav wouldn't make a bracha on cooked food either. He would make sure to only eat it with bread to make sure the bread was ikar, it was a tofel, he wouldn't make a bracha on it. The eitzel kamba tzadikim zatzal chilku baze, shebishabis hakumpot hu mono kavua, v'shayach le'su'uda v'ein levarich, u'b'chol dafka mevarchim. He says we see by many tzadikim that they were machalik between on Shabbos and the week, exactly Zisha's chilek. It says on Shabbos, what they would do was, since it's very said that people always have this for dessert on Shabbos, so they consider it as part of the food, they wouldn't make a bracha. But during the week, it wasn't so common, so when they ate it as dessert during the week, they would make a bracha. So it's very interesting, and the hasberim given for the Chavetz Chaim while he was chozer, the only hasberim of this Kaplan brings down a svara, which is the exact opposite of what he says in the first in the Sharat Tzion. He writes that there are those who say, he doesn't quote who says it, those who say the reason why the Chavetz Chaim didn't make a bracha is because since it's always there, it's considered part of the suda. That's exactly what the Mishnah Bura says, Mefurish, in the Sharat Tzion, that's not correct. He said, even if it's always done in the Medina, still the Maisa, since it comes there, you always need a bracha. And that's the same story of the giving, where the Chavetz Chaim would change, and maybe he changed his mind. I don't know. But the bottom line is, that the Minhag Olam, as far as I understand, is that we do make a bracha on raw fruit, and we do make bracha on cooked fruit as well. And then if it's suda, that we would make a bracha on it always, yeah. That's the Minhag. But just interesting, the Chavetz Chaim was chozer, but that, what? What the Sharat Tzion says. I'm just saying that what the minhag is, I'm not saying what's...
Wouldn't it be been changed in the same Mishnah Bura, no?
No, after it was published, you know what I mean? After it was published, he changed his name. I don't know the answer.
That was an old man when he was
okay, one last topic, and then we'll come back to the chocolate mousse. So, in Siman Kuf Ayin Daled, we can get involved with ice cream and ices. In Siman Kuf Ayin Daled, Siv Zion, So the Mechaber says the following: In Ein Lo Yayin V'Shosa Mayim Oshom Mashka Ein Lo Baruch Alem D'Chashivi Kavoy Machmas Hasuda. He says, if there is no wine and he's drinking water or any other drink, don't make a bracha in the middle of the suda, because this is considered as boy machmas suda. And he gives reasons, lefish ain't derech lechav loshtiyah, because you don't normally eat without drinking. So drinking is considered part of the suda. Fine. So the Mechaber paskins that if you drink something during the suda, you don't make a bracha on it. The question is, what would be the din if you have, this is a very common thing, if you have ice cream or ices at the end of the suda, what would be the din by that? So there's a machlokas between, I brought that in the sefer, between the stipler and Rav Eliashiv, whether ice cream or ice is something that melts into a liquid, it's a solid that melts into a liquid, if it's considered a solid or a liquid. So if it's, the pashut pshat is, if it's considered a liquid, so the Mechaber passes the Farish that a liquid is considered as Bo'en Machmas Asuda would not require bracha. So according to the opinions, and that is what Rav Eliashiv holds, that ice cream and ices are considered a mashka, and therefore would not require a bracha to Hasuda. Just there, when I was in Neri Israel, I remember big discussions going on when they served ices on Shabbos. So I don't know who said what, but Rav Yaakov Weinberg was a yeshiva then, and Rav Ruderman, who was his father-in-law, who started the yeshiva, so they told me one held that it was considered, one said you have to make a bracha, and one said you don't have to make a bracha, so they had the same machlokas over there. The machlokas is whether it's considered a mashke or not. If it's considered a mashke, you would not need a bracha on it. If it's considered not a mashke, it's considered an achila, so it's a regular achila that's not coming as part of the suit, it's only coming as a kinuach, as a dessert, so it's pasha, you would have to make a bracha on it.
How do we know nowadays?
I don't remember.
How are we
now, what? Ah, so one second. So just to clarify, one, what?
Why the mashke?
Oh, so we're gonna get to that in a second also. So just to clarify. So that's just the pasha. But we're gonna get to a couple other problems. Number one, just another thing is another halacha that's important to know about dessert is that if a person makes kiddush, right? A person makes kiddush, or even if he doesn't make kiddush, he drinks a little of wine. So then that wine patters any mashkes natol chasuda. That's another reason, besides the fact, leading off the fact that the Mechaber paskins that on liquids, on drinks, they consider bo machmas hasuda, you don't make a bracha. But if you make kiddush, or you drank a malugum of wine, so then also it's covered by the bracha that you made a kiddush, or the fact that you drank the wine, it already covers all drinks you have in the suda. So if you consider a liquid, it'll be covered because of that also. There are two reasons to patter you because of it being a liquid. If it's a solid, there's all the reason to be machayev you because it doesn't get patted by the kiddush and it's not considered bama machmas asuda, it's covered by hamotzi, and therefore you would require a bracha. Now, there's also a tell, like Shuli was just bringing up, that if it's considered a liquid, that you would be chayev a bracha because the reason seemingly given by the machaber why it's considered bama machmas asuda is because you normally eat with drinking. That's referring to normal drinks that you drink because you're thirsty part of the suda, so that doesn't need a bracha. But this is the kind of thing that you're drinking as dessert, right? You're eating ice cream or ice as dessert. You're not doing it because you're thirsty. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down at the end of that sif, he brings down the din by, first of all, by whiskey what the din would be, and by coffee what the din would be. So he says, first of all, by whiskey, he says, he brings down a machlokas, that ulinyan yayin sarav yesh acharim shekosu the tzarach bracha besoch hasuda mishum she'ein shosin osa machmas tzimor ha'achil gashar mashkin. It says whiskey, you don't drink it because you're thirsty, and therefore there are those who say it requires a bracha if you drink whiskey to hasuda, because you're not drinking out of thirst, and therefore it's not considered part of the suda, and therefore it would require a bracha. That same svara would require a bracha by ice cream and ices also if it's considered a liquid. Then he says, "Avam Magen Avram Kosav the Besoch Hasuda ain't Tzarach Bracha Mishum Da'az Ba La'orer Tavas Hamacha V'Choshes Gamze Machmas Hasuda." Says the Magen Avram writes over that whiskey Tzarach Hasuda would not require bracha because that's only coming to make you more interested in eating, and therefore it's considered part of your suda. It's considered Ba Machmas Hasuda, and then therefore you would not require a bracha on it. And then he said, the Bishop Rapaskins, Ela Sha'ova Nagu L'Hakil, that the minhag is to be makil when it comes to whiskey that we don't make a bracha Tzarach Hasuda. But it would just seem if you would try to connect this whiskey thing to ice cream or ices. So again, if you hold that ice cream or ices is considered a salad, so it's pashi in the bracha. If you consider it a liquid, so if you were yotzei, if you had a malugmav of wine by kiddush, so it's for sure yotzei also. It doesn't matter whether it's called machmas asuda or not. But if you didn't have the wine, the mishabru is mesupuk if you have a little bit of wine. But let's say you had no wine, so you can't rely on the wine. So then you have the same svara l'chora that the that the first opinion said that it's not coming to satisfy your thirst, so you should require bracha, and you don't have the way out of the Magen Avraham. The way out of the Magen Avraham for the whiskey was it's coming to make you hungrier. By the dessert, you don't have that svara that's coming to make you hungrier, so l'chora, you should require bracha, l'fi this, l'fi what we're saying by whiskey, if you would apply that to the ice cream and ices, you would require a bracha, according to that, by ice cream and ices, because it's not coming to satisfy any thirst, you would require bracha. One last thing he brings out over here is the Chai Adam writes that what about coffee at the end of a Suda? So he says, Kasuk Chai Adam, Dimshos Acha Gemara Suda coffee, who rakde la'akel ha'mozon. It's not coming as part of the Suda, it's only coming to help digest the food. V'lodami l'sham mashkin, it's not similar to other mashkin. V'alkein tzarech l'varach bracha rishona. Therefore, the Chai Adam paskins that you have to make a bracha rishona on coffee. Then Mishnah Berurah says, V'inam ruchach, but it's not so clear, V'nocho sheyavarach mitchila al-ma'at suka lifter us a coffee. So the Mishnah Berurah says, not so posh that you should make a bracha on coffee, therefore you should have a little sugar. So I spoke to my Rebbe about this. He seemed to think that was really in those days where they used to have the sugar separate from the coffee. They had like sugar cubes there. But the bracha, he said his understanding is that nowadays the minhag is that we don't make a bracha on coffee. So you could say you can go get a mic and Ike, you can go, you know, get something else, but he seemed to think the minhag is that we don't make a bracha on coffee. So I also want to go there. I want to say a couple of other things afterwards, but what comes out, bottom line this, for the mezonos that we discussed, that if you're eating mezonos tocha suda, and then we'll come back to the shulchan mus right now, but if you're eating catering the suda, the halacha ma'isa, you would not make a bracha chorna, if it has any of those three requirements, you would not make the bracha chorna, unless it has all three requirements during the suda. When it comes to fruits, it's pashut that if you have a raw fruit at the end of the suda, for sure you have to make a bracha on it. If you have cooked fruit at the end of the Suda, the Mishnah Berurah says Mefurish, clearly very stark, that you of course have to make a bracha. However, we have this rumor or this Eidus in the Amana that Rosh Shemach brings down that the Chavetz Chaim and the Brisker Rav wouldn't make a bracha on it. But L'chor, the Minhag HaOlam is to still make a bracha on cooked fruit at the end of the Suda. And then when it comes to ice cream and ices, so I think I don't think there's a Minhag HaOlam. I think there's very varied opinions. I think many people do make bracha, and I know for sure there's some people that don't make a bracha. So that you'll have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi what opinion you should follow when it comes to ice cream and ices. But when it comes to
the Mezonos,
you would not make a bracha unless it has all three requirements. Then you would, yes, make a bracha. Now when it comes to the chocolate mousse, just now, since we started with that, the chocolate mousse, the halacha by chocolate mousse is that the bracha is considered, you need two brachas. So it's not like you're eating chocolate mousse during the week. So you have a graham cracker crust on the bottom, you have a mousse filled on top, so you need to make two brachas, because even though normally mezonos would be the ikker, the rest would be a tapa, that's only if it was cooked together. But since this was a ready-made crust that's bought in the store, and the thing is, it's considered two separate things, and therefore you'd require a mezonos on the cake, and you require a shahakol on the mousse. What? So if you're, because that's the same thing as we say by an ice cream sandwich, it's considered two different things. They're not made together. It's, you make cookies, and you make ice cream, you put it together. So sometimes, Mary pointed out to me that it's only because each thing would be eaten on its own also. By Napoleon, you say the same thing. It's also not. It's, I don't know if it's made together either. They said it's different because Napoleon, the cream that's in Napoleon, it's not normal to just eat cream by itself. Therefore, the cream would be bottled to the mezonos. Mashegin over here, you would eat cookies by themselves. You would eat ice cream by themselves. So you have it together, so you'd require two different brothels. So that's what he said. So come to Halacha Maaseh, if you get a mousse at the end of the Suda, so if you're looking at this mousse, so on the one hand, you have a bracha of mezonos on the crust, which we're no way not to make a bracha, because the crust itself only has one requirement. But then you have the mousse, which is a regular dessert. It's not even meltable. It doesn't have the heter of being like ice cream or ices that it melts, that it would be considered a liquid. It's considered a salad. So you'd rather have to make a shahakal on the mousse. So the bottom line is, you get this piece of mousse at someone's house, so the din is you make a shahakal on the mousse part, and that's it. You don't make a bracha on the mezonos. Mekinex also, for sure, right. Any candy or things that come totally outside the Suda, you would for sure have to make a bracha or shakal also. And I really wanted to say also that it depends. You want to be mechal the pair of ice cream and dairy ice cream. That dairy ice cream melts much more than pair of ice cream. So the chor of pair of ice cream would be considered more like a salad, and would more valet require a bracha, which is usually when they get on Shabbos, if you're having ice cream, that it would be more of a reason to say it's considered a salad, because it doesn't melt as much as regular ice cream. And the whole idea considered a liquid is that it melts and mamash turns into a liquid. Okay, I want to just go to Rosh Chodesh to have like a Shvat a little bit. Two quick things. So this week is Parshas Bo, and Rabbi Chalal have a Rosh Chodesh here. You don't address the pasuk of Rosh Chodesh. HaChodesh is Elachem. So there's a very famous Gemara at the end of Shabbos that I want to read, and I have a Ha'ara on this Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis says the following story. It says, Rabbi Lozab ben Aruch, it talks about a place because we're reading. I'm already chelbo. Chamra de pugraisa umaya de yumsus kipchu aseres hashvatim meYisrael. Says the wine of this certain place was so geshmak, and the water springs, the merchats, the wash houses of this other place was so geshmak that it caused the 10 shvatim of Klal Yisrael to go off the derech. They got so involved in the gashmis, it was so geshmak that he went off the derech. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch equal lahasam. So Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch went to visit the Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, one of the big tanoim, went to visit this place that had the geshmak wine and had the great springs, the gashmis that was geshmak. In Shepasrael, he got pulled after the Gashmias over there. He yakir Talmudei. He forgot his learning. He hadar asa kam lemikri b'safra. When he got back to the yeshiva, so he got the aliyah. He was reading from the Torah. Boy lemikri achores hazelachem. He was called to the Torah to read this week's parasha achores hazelachem. Amar hacheresh haya libam. And instead of reading achores hazelachem, he read hacheresh haya libam. He changed two letters. And achores, he changed the dalet for a resh, which is easily mistaken. And he changed also Lachem, the Chaf to a base, which is easy to make a mistake. Instead of reading Achorish the Lachem, he read Achirish Haya Libam. Right, they discussed that also. So Boy Minei Rachmi, the Rabbanon asked that they davened that he should be saved. Vahadar Talmudei, and he got his learning back. Behind it's not, and this is what it means when it says in the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Rabbi No Roy Omer, have a gola l'makom Torah, you should be gola to a place of Torah, v'al tomar shehitavo acharecha, don't say it will come after you, shechavirecha yikamu v'yadecha v'albinasa atishoyim. Interesting enough, the Gemara right afterwards says, Rabbi No Roy is Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, the one who went to this place full of gashmis and forgot his learning, is Rabbi No Roy, who is the one who said the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, that the person should be going to Malcolm Torah because he saw what happened to him, therefore he gave the shmuz. That's the Gemara right afterwards. It says, Tano lo Rabbi no Roy shmo, elo Rabbi Nechemya shmo, v'amri lo Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch shmo. Rabbi no Roy really thinks Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. V'lam nikro shmo Rabbi no Roy, shemanir eni chachamim balochah. He opened up the in of the chachamim in chachma. The kids are, he was a great tzaddik, a huge Talmud Chacham that they praised him in the mission of us, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was one of the five Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and they say he was a Mayan HaMaskader. He was a giant in Torah. He went to this place, followed after the Gashmis, and forgot his learning so much to the point that instead of reading Achorish Zalachem, he read Achirish HaYolibam. So there's the Maral over here, the Chilish HaGadosh, as well as the Marshal, they say very similar things. They say the following. The Maral says that it's not the Pshat that he forgot his learning so much that he couldn't read the Aleph Beis. That's not the Pshat over here. You know, he read the words wrong, not the Pshat. He says, it's really a simon. I'll read you the Maral. I wrote it down. It says, Losha Kolka Shokal Tamuda Shakara Achirish HaYolibam. It's not the Pshat that he forgot his learning so much that he couldn't read Hebrew anymore, that he read the Pasuk wrong. Rak Shekaf Nofal Bepume Lesimna. These words fell into his mouth as a simon. Lemikri Achirish HaYolibam Kidei Sheyeda Kishokal Taraso. But the simon to him, Achirish HaYolibam, means their hearts were deaf. That his heart was deaf, could not hear things, and that's what happened. That's what happened to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. That's why God put it into his mouth to read those words as a symbol of what happened to him. And the Marsha says a very similar thing. He says, "V'nafal toz zedepiv l'fi inyano shenasa libo leiv even v'cheresh milahavin." That his heart turned to stone, and he couldn't hear anymore. He couldn't hear Torah anymore. So basically, they say that it was only a mashal. A cheresh milahavin was a mashal to what actually happened to him. So I wanted to go a little bit deeper and say a little deeper pshat, take the Maral a little deeper. The Maral says that Achirish HaYolibam was representing what happened to him, that his heart became like stone. So I want to say that maybe this going to this Gashmistic place turned the Achirish HaZalachem into Achirish HaYolibam. We've spoken many times that Achirish HaZalachem, the whole idea of Rosh Chodesh, the whole idea is the idea of his Chachos. That's the whole idea of the monthly renewal of the moon, is to realize that every month a person can rebuild mechazik themselves, just like the moon gets smaller and then it starts getting bigger after Rosh Chodesh, so too that we can constantly be mechazik ourselves and constantly taking on new things and being mechazik and mechadish things in our lives. So I think the antithesis of a person who's working on his eschatzus, trying to always make things geshmak for himself and making it exciting in terms of ruchnius, is a person who starts pulling after gashmius. We know that gashmius, Chazal tells us that gashmius and ruchnius can't be together. So much so that the Tosas in Pesachim brings down the Yerushalmi that says before a person davens that Torah should go into his brain, he should daven that Tanugim shouldn't go into his stomach. That Gashmi shouldn't go into his stomach, only then can Torah go into his brain. Gashmis and Ruchmias don't work well together. So a person who wants to be working on his Ruchmias, a person who wants to be a Chodesh HaZel Lachem person, can't be pulled at the Gashmias. I think when Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch went to this place that had the Geshmak wine, had the great springs, and he went after the Gashmias, so he turned the Chodesh HaZel Lachem into HaChirish HaYolibam. The Achorish Zelachem, a person who's Achorish Zelachem, who lives his life as a person who's constantly his chajah, trying to make his ruchnias exciting, his Torah exciting, and trying to rejuvenate himself in terms of ruchnias, he goes after the gashmias, he turns that excitement into Achorish HaLibon. He makes his heart deaf, that he can't hear it anymore. Because once he gets to the gashmias, the ruchnias doesn't come in. So I think the fact that he read this pasuk wrong is not just like the Maral says, that it shows us that his heart was stone. But it was Mamash that he read this pasuk wrong, because that's what he did. He, by going after the gashmias, turned the hacharish zelachem, which he could have had, and that goof of the gashmias in that place turned it into a cherish alibam that stunted his growth in ruchnias and created a deafness in his heart that he couldn't accept the ruchnias anymore. That's good. What? So one other nekuda that will connect the Shvat is... So the Emunah Zeitecha, Rav Wolfson in Emunah Zeitecha, after Parshas Ve'ira, has a few little pieces on Chodesh Shvat. And he says the following thing. That in Parshas B'chukosai, the pasuk says, Ve'etza asoda yitem piryo, that the trees of the field will give off fruit. And Rashi says over there, Rashi quotes the Gemara in the end of Ksubas. The end of Ksubas says, "V'asad lavo asidin ilonei srat lahotzi peros." That Rashi, by this pasuk of Ve'etza asoda yitem piryo, the trees of the field will give off fruit. So Rashi says, brings down the Chazal, that in the future all the barren trees will give off fruit. So he understands Ve'etza asoda yitem piryo, that the barren trees will give off fruit. And he points out, the Maral says, that really the way Hashem created the trees was that all trees were supposed to have fruit in the first place. But only because of the chet of Adam HaRishon, so the Hashem cursed the earth also, right? Because that's how the chet came about, through the earth also, through the tree. So Hashem cursed the earth, and that's what created the barren trees. That's what the Maral says. That really they were supposed to have fruit all along. But because of the chet of Adam HaRishon, they didn't have trees. But La'asad Lavo, when we go back, when Mashiach comes, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, so all the barren trees are going to get fruits again. That's the Gemara says in Ksuvos. And that's what he says of Shad, Ve'esal Yidem Piryo. So he says, L'chora, we have a Macholkas in Bishamay Be'sila, when is Rosh Chodesh Le'ilan? Is it on Echad B'Shad or Tu B'Shvat? But either one, whenever Rosh Chodesh Le'ilan is, L'chora, he says, what happens is, all the trees are davening for the Geula on that day. Because they want that the Rosh Chodesh, their fate is being decided. They want that this spring, the barren trees want that this spring they should bear fruit. So davening to Hashem, that Hashem should bring the Geula, that they're davening, it's not as Zman Tfila of the trees, on Tu B'Shvat, or Echad B'Shvat, Afi B'Shama V'Yisrael, it's Mamash as Mat Tfilah that the Geulah should come, that they should start bearing trees again. So he says, we know the famous Pasuk, Ki Adam Eitz HaSada, that the Pasuk in Dvarim that compares a person to a tree, so he says, not only is it a Zman for the trees to daven that they should bear fruit, but any person who feels himself that he's like an Ilan Srak, that he's not giving off fruits, he's not giving off Torah, his understanding of Torah is not the way that he wants it to be, he's not able to understand properly, so it would also be a Zman Tfilah for that person. It's also it's not feel for us. If we don't feel we're reaching our heights in Ruchnias, just like the trees are davening, they should reach their ultimate level by bearing fruits. And it's a Zman that we could also daven, that Hashem should give us, that we should bear fruits, that our Torah should come out of us properly. And that this is Mamash, a Zman that's Mesugo for us to daven to Hashem, that we should be able to say Chidushei Torah, that we should be able to understand our learning properly. Not only that, they bring down that in the beginning of Dvarim it says that on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which was today, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is a Zman that Moshe Rabbeinu started saying over Mishnah Torah to Klal Yisrael. That was a Zman where Moshe Rabbeinu started being Be'eres HaTorah Hazos. He started explaining the Torah to Klal Yisrael. That was also the beginning of Klal Yisrael's understanding of the Torah, was Mamish in this Tkufa. It was today. It was Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu started explaining over the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Was Mamish today. It's Mamish as Zman that's Mesugo. So that it's Rosh Chodesh and that it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which is when Moshe Rabbeinu did it, to start to rejuvenate ourselves and get back into the learning and get back into our Ruchnias. It's Mamish halfway through the Zman. 3 months passed. And we have 3 more months in the future. I don't think it's a coincidence that Parshas Bo, which is Achorei Shezel Lachem, which is the whole idea of the Schachas, comes mamash right in the middle of a winter's month, in the middle of a snowstorm, that we should be mechazik ourselves, that even though it's hard to learn now, but to re-mechazik ourselves and to daven that our learning should be successful the rest of this month, and to plug away our learning, and Rishon will have a great month. Amen.